Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, March 28th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Another round of peace talks gets underway between Ukraine and Russia.
The White House tries to walk back President Biden's comments on Vladimir Putin.
And in markets, the steepest global bond route of the modern era shows no signs of slowing.
The January 6th panel files contempt cases against two former Trump allies. Plus, it made Academy Awards history, but not in a good way. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Kyrie Irving's first home game, the Nets lost, wins for the Knicks and Rangers, and the NCAA tournament is down to the Final Four.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And NASDAQ futures are lower to start the week. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, NASDAQ futures are lower, down 28 points. S&P futures are a little changed, and Dow futures are up 38. The DAX in Germany is up 1.6%. The 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 2.50%. And the yield on the 2-year, 2.38%. NYMEX crude oil is down 3.8% on $4.33 at $109.57 a barrel. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll have more on the markets in a minute. But first, peace talks between Ukraine and Russia resume this week in Turkey. The meetings come as several Ukrainian cities continue to take heavy fire. We get more from Bloomberg Managing Editor Dan Tenkate.
Zelensky was out again speaking about what Ukraine would be willing to discuss in these talks. One, you know, ready to declare neutrality, abandon the push to join NATO, vow not to develop nuclear weapons. And, you know, the key one is basically saying that they're willing to talk about that Donbas region where Russia really had troops already before the war started. And this is sort of an acknowledgement from the Ukrainians that, okay, you know, maybe we could move the troops back to the positions where they were pre-war.
Bloomberg's Dan Tenkate reports the talks resume while heavy explosions were heard in several Ukrainian cities overnight. Local authorities expect civilians to keep fleeing the devastated city of Mariupol.
And those peace talks, however, Nathan, are being overshadowed by comments made by President Biden. Some off-the-cuff remarks about Russian President Vladimir Putin are garnering serious attention. And here's what the president said Saturday.
For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power.
Almost immediately, the White House tried to walk back those words over the weekend. And we get more from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
The president says he was not advocating regime change in Russia and that he was just answering a reporter's question. Earlier in the day, Secretary of State Antony Blinken also walked back the original statement.
We do not have a strategy of regime change in Russia or anywhere else for that matter.
Now, the U.S. ambassador to NATO, Julianne Smith, says the president had spent all day with refugees listening to heartbreaking stories.
In the moment, I think that was a principled human reaction to the stories that he had heard that day.
But French President Emmanuel Macron is warning against words or actions that could inflame the region. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Let's turn to President Biden's agenda back home now. The White House releases its budget proposal today. It's expected to detail a minimum 20% tax rates for households worth more than $100 million. Amy Morris has the details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The White House calls it the billionaire minimum income tax. It's the most aggressive proposal yet by the administration to increase taxation on the wealthiest Americans. If enacted, it will hit both the income and the unrealized capital gains of $100 million households and generate an estimated $360 billion in new revenue over the next decade. That's more than a third of the White House's projected trillion-dollar cut to deficit spending over that period. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Right, Amy, thank you. The economy is also in focus this week. Friday brings the government's jobs report for March, and we get more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
U.S. unemployment is poised to fall, with jobless claims the lowest since the 1960s and job openings at records. The March rate could go as low as 3.6 or 3.7%, according to some forecasters. Unemployment's at a record high of 14.7% in April 2020 when the pandemic struck. The record low, 2.5%, dates back to the 1950s. Also this week, ISM factory data, consumer spending, consumer confidence. Vinny Dalciudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. Fixed income is front and center this morning as the steepest global bond rout of the modern era shows no sign of slowing. 10-year treasury yields have climbed past 2.5%. Yields on 5-year notes rose above those on 30-year bonds, an inversion for those maturities for the first time since 2006. It suggests concern over an economic downturn and perhaps even a recession.
Well, Nathan, we're seeing big moves in the Japanese yen this morning. This after the Bank of Japan offered to buy an unlimited amount of bonds for 3 straight days. It's the first time the central bank has made such a move. And checking the yen, it's trading at the weakest level in 7 years at 124.62 against the dollar.
In the meantime, Karen, COVID is threatening economic activity in China again. Shanghai has declared a lockdown to combat a surge in cases. We get details from Bloomberg's Emma O'Brien.
Locking down for 4 days, one part of the city, which does include the financial district in Pudong. And then the next 4 days after that, locking down the other side of the city. And during those 4-day periods, they will be mass testing the entire population as part of China's COVID zero strategy, which they are maintaining to really root out and suppress virus cases.
And Bloomberg's Emma O'Brien says the lockdowns will extend to the roads. Private cars will not be allowed to drive unless necessary.
And Nathan, that lockdown will hit production for Tesla in China. Bloomberg News has learned the electric car maker is extending a production pause at its Shanghai plant for another 4 days because of the restrictions. The original plan called for suspending production just 1 day.
In the meantime, in southern China, Karen, investigators have recovered the second black box from last week's deadly China Eastern plane crash. All 132 people on board were killed when the jet nosedived from nearly 30,000 feet. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Philip Glamon.
Investigators in Wuzhou here in southern China have a big boost to their investigations by finding the second black box. This gives them information on the movements of the plane and the performance of the engine. And it goes along with a black box that was found earlier that records what was said in the cockpit.
Bloomberg's Philip Glamon says the flight data recorder has been sent to Beijing for analysis. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're 24 degrees in Central Park. Vehicle fire earlier on eastbound Cross Bronx Expressway near Bronx River Parkway. We'll get the details on that for you in traffic. First, Michael Barr is here with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The Cinderella team of the NCAA men's basketball tournament will still get a hero's welcome after being eliminated. St. Peter's University lost to North Carolina. The Peacocks made tournament history as the first 15 seed to reach the Elite Eight. Fans back home in Jersey City watched the game cheering for how far the team advanced.
They had a great season. You really can't say nothing bad about it.
Jersey City Mayor Stephen Fulop said on Twitter that after the Peacocks had their historic tournament run, the city would still hold a parade and a keys to the city ceremony for the team. The January 6th panel says two ex-advisors to former President Donald Trump should be held in contempt of Congress because they are withholding information that the House committee considers central to its investigation of events surrounding last year's attack on the U.S. Capitol. According to a report released by the investigating committee, former White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Communications Dan Scavino may have had advance warning about the potential for violence. The panel is set to meet tonight to hold on recommending that the House of Representatives hold Scavino and Trump's trade advisor Peter Navarro in contempt. The Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Sciences says it does not condone violence in any form after fireworks at Sunday night's Oscars. Minutes before accepting his Best Actor award, Will Smith slapped presenter Chris Rock on stage after taking offense to a joke about his wife.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it. All right? that was a nice one. Okay. I'm out here. Uh-oh. Richard. Oh, wow.
Smith later accepted the Best Actor award for King Richard.
Denzel said to me a few minutes ago, he said, at your highest moment, be careful, that's when the devil comes for you.
Jessica Chastain won the Best Actress Award. The movie Coda on Apple won for Best Picture. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael. Thank you. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshower.
Good morning, Nathan. In the Nets' 36th home game of the season, the first for Kyrie Irving. His story well known, his refusal to get the vaccine, a hot topic not only in sports but at City Hall last week. The private sector mandate lifted for him, and Kyrie took the floor in Brooklyn.
My presence out there, which is bigger than the basketball game, you know, which is representing a lot of individuals that are out there in a similar situation as me. And now that I could play, I think it should be opened up for everybody. I don't take it for granted what happened tonight. It was historic. I'm grateful that I got a chance to be out there with my brother.
The game did not go well. Irving shot just 6 of 22. The Nets lost to Charlotte 119-110. Almost certainly too late for the Knicks' playoff hopes, but they are playing better of late. A 3-0 road trip they held on at Detroit. 104-102, Knicks blew a 21-point lead, but Alec Burks, the hero down the stretch, a big three-point shot and then a game-saving steal. At the Garden, Rangers over Buffalo, 5-4 and a Keandre Miller goal 2 minutes into overtime. Recent Ranger pickup Frank Vetrano scored two goals 18 seconds apart in the opening period. Islanders lost to Tampa Bay, the Devils topped Montreal in a shootout. The clock did strike midnight for Cinderella St. Peter's, lost by 20 to North Carolina. The Peacocks could be losing their coach now, Shaheen Holloway, widely expected to leave to become the head coach at his alma mater, Seton Hall. Carolina's going to its 21st Final Four, and in New Orleans will play arch rival Duke. 16th Final Four for Kansas, who crushed Miami, will now take on Villanova. Mets had their aces on the mound. Jacob DeGrom pitched 3 innings. Max Scherzer the last 6, together 12 strikeouts and a Met win. The Yankees won, even though their ace, Gerrit Cole, gave up a couple of home runs. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Stephen.
Okay, John, thanks. S&P futures now down 5 points. Dow futures up 2. NASDAQ futures are lower by 50 points. The 10-year Treasury is now down 6/32. The yield at 2.49%. Take a look at the markets with a more aggressive Fed. Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, joins us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather turning partly sunny, breezy, and cold today. Highs only in the mid-30s. We'll get up to around 40 tomorrow with a breeze. Increasing clouds Wednesday with highs in the mid-40s. Right now, 24 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Sovereign bonds are tumbling while European stocks are gaining and U.S. stock index futures are falling once again as economic risks from inflation and tightening monetary policy hit sentiment. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 8 points, Dow futures down 14, NASDAQ futures down 61. The DAX in Germany is up 1.3%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 2.49%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.37%. NYMEX crude oil is down 3.8% on $4.28 at $109.62 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1.4% or $27.90 at $1931.90 an ounce. The euro 1.0974 against the dollar. British pound 1.3129. The yen at 124.66. And Bitcoin this morning moving higher, up about 2% at $47,016. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Ukrainian and Russian officials announced that they have agreed to a new round of in-person peace talks to be held in Turkey. It comes as the White House walks back comments President Biden made about Vladimir Putin, saying this man cannot remain in power. It is the water cooler talk today during last night's Academy Awards. Will Smith slapped Chris Rock on stage after the comedian made a joke about Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith. Smith later won the Best Actor Oscar. Jessica Chastain won Best Actress. Coda from the Apple streaming service won for Best Picture. The Final Four is set in the men's NCAA basketball tournament. North Carolina plays Duke. Kansas will face Villanova. In the NBA, Kyrie Irving played his first home game of the season, but the Nets lost. The Knicks and Celtics won. The Wizards beat the Warriors. NHL Rangers won in OT over the Sabres. The Devils won in a shootout over the Canadiens. The Islanders lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks for coming up to 520 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we get the trading week started, we're joined by Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee. Dennis, good morning. Tension isn't only on the Academy Awards stage in Hollywood. We're also seeing lots of tension playing out in the bond market this morning. The global route continues, fives and 30s inverted. What is the bond market signaling right now?
I'm afraid the bond market is signaling that the Fed is going to be a little tighter than people had anticipated, that the economy is going to be a little weaker than anticipated, that a recession is a possibility. The fact I watched the 5-year, 10-year spread, and the fact that you've got 5 years now at a substantial premium over 10 years, the yield curve, belly of the curve has inverted. It did so about 2 weeks ago. It continues to move towards an inversion. Twos are heading quietly higher, likely to go to an inversion over 10. So the yield curve itself, in the major area of the curve, in the middle of the curve, is going to an inversion. I think it's deleterious to the stock market. I think it's deleterious to the economy. And I think it tells you that recession is a possibility. So be careful out there.
How much of a possibility do you see of recession?
I think within the next year there's a 60 to 65, 70% probability of recession coming. Just depends on how inverted the yield curve gets. People want to talk about the fact that the curve has, in the past, not been the greatest anticipator of recessions. Every recession we've had has seen an inverted curve, but we've seen inverted curves and not had recessions. However, when you have an inverted curve and a spike in crude oil prices, the odds of recession go up rather dramatically. So I think it's at least 60%, 70%, 75% in the course of the next 12 months. I think it's a very likely possibility.
Well, what do you think the Fed is going to do? Obviously, the market has priced in now 2 full percentage point hikes by the end of this year. We've heard from analysts at Citigroup calling for 50 basis point increases at the next 4 meetings. Do you think the Fed will be that aggressive?
I doubt the Fed will be that aggressive. I doubt that they'll go 50 in the next 2. I think they'll go 50, certainly, I shouldn't say certainly, but very probably in the May meeting. I doubt that they'll go 50 in the next meeting after that. But having been in the market for 45 years, if I've learned anything about the Fed, it's that when they begin to tighten or when they begin to ease, they move rates much farther than anybody can possibly anticipate in either direction. The fact is that the Fed has remained far too expansionary for far too long. They will have to remain contractionary for far too long and take rates far higher than people anticipate. Where will the overnight Fed funds rate be a year from now? Demonstrably higher than it is right now, but are we going to see 50s and 50s and 50s on the next several meetings? I doubt that substantially. I think the Fed fears imposing recession upon the economy, so it'll be reticent to move 50-50-50, but will it take rates higher over the course of the next year and a half or so? There's not a question about that.
Do you think the Fed can pull off a soft landing with the
No.
path that it's laid out?
No, the Fed has been unable to create soft landings in the past. I think the Fed's ability to create a soft landing in the future is marginal at best. The Fed has erred badly almost every time it has taken an action of major consequence in the course of history. I don't see that they're any smarter now than they were 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. The Fed will err badly in all directions, always has and always will.
So where do you find hedges in this market? We've heard some talk about large cap stocks being the new inflation hedge. Do you think that's a good idea?
The only thing I trade for myself, and I have some control, University of Akron's endowment, and I've reduced my exposure to the stock market dramatically. The only areas of the stocks that I own are oil companies and a few large cap high dividend payers that whose dividends are covered rather dramatically and covered well. So I've taken an old curmudgeon's rather substantive portfolio, blue chips, high dividend payers. I'm away from tech. I don't trust tech even slightly, and I don't trust small cap. And one thing that I won't have any interest at all in, it's emerging markets. I'll leave that to other people. As my friend Don Cox once said, the definition of an emerging market is a market from which you cannot emerge in an emergency, and I think that's one of the great lines of all time.
Thanks, as always, for your insights, Dennis. Good to have you on with us. Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee. Futures slightly lower now, with S&P futures down 7 points. Dow futures little changed. NASDAQ futures lower by 59 points. The 10-year Treasury is now down 7/32. The yield just shy of 2.5%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.37%. And NYMEX crude right now down 3.8%, down $4.38 at $109.52 a barrel. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, turning partly sunny, breezy, cold today with highs only in the mid-30s. We'll be near 40, breezy tomorrow. Sunshine Wednesday, followed by increasing clouds with highs near 45. Currently 24 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Peace talks between Ukraine and Russia resume in Turkey this week, but that's being overshadowed by comments by President Biden. Over the weekend, he took aim at the leadership of Vladimir Putin.
We will have a different future, a brighter future, rooted in democracy and principle, hope and light, of decency and dignity, of freedom and possibilities. For God's sake. This man cannot remain in power.
And quote, this man cannot remain in power. Those words are reverberating across Europe this morning. The White House tried to clarify the president's remarks, saying he was not calling for regime changes in Russia.
Well, critics say President Biden's comment is a boost for Putin, Karen. And we get more on that from Bloomberg International Affairs reporter Mark Champion.
The words are what they are. They are a gift to President Putin, who's been arguing that this is not a war against Ukraine. It's a war to defend Russia against Western attempts to destroy Russia. So, you know, unfortunately, it's a gift for him in propaganda terms. You know, when you have a leader who is now seen as somewhat isolated, paranoid in Moscow, it really doesn't help to suggest that that's the kind of thinking that is going on in Washington, whether or not it is the public position.
Bloomberg's Mark Champion says both France and the UK are distancing themselves from President Biden's comments. One White House official suggests the president's remarks were influenced by stories of suffering he heard from Ukrainian refugees.
Nathan, meantime, back in Washington, the White House releases its budget proposal today. It's expected to detail a billionaire minimum income tax, which would implement a minimum 20% tax rate for households worth more than $100 million. The rate would hit both income and unrealized capital gains.
Turning to markets, Karen, it's all about fixed income this morning. The steepest global bond rout of the modern era shows no signs of slowing. 10-year Treasury yields have climbed past 2.5%. Yields on 5-year notes rose above those on 30-year bonds, an inversion for those maturities for the first time since 2006.
And we're seeing big moves in the Japanese yen this morning, Nathan. That's after the Bank of Japan offered to buy an unlimited amount of bonds for 3 straight days. It's the first time the central bank has made such a move. And checking the yen, it's trading at the weakest level in 7 years at 124.48 against the dollar. And futures this morning, S&P futures are down 5 points. Dow futures are a little changed, and NASDAQ futures down about 55. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 2.50%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
5:33 on Wall Street, 24 degrees in Central Park, and eastbound Cross Bronx Expressway is closed now at the Bronx River Parkway. We'll tell you why in traffic in just a minute. First, Michael Barr's here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The January 6th panel says two ex-advisors to former President Donald Trump should be held in contempt of Congress because they are withholding information that a House committee considers central to its investigation of events surrounding the attack on the U.S. Capitol. The investigating committee named former White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Communications Dan Scavino and former trade advisor Peter Navarro. The panel will meet tonight. The Cinderella team of the NCAA men's basketball tournament will still get a parade after being eliminated. St. Peter's University lost to North Carolina. The Peacocks made tournament history as the first 15th seed to reach the Elite Eight. Fans back home in Jersey City watched the game, cheering for how far the team advanced.
We're going to come back next season. We're going to win next season. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Jersey City Mayor Steve Phillips said on Twitter the city will also hold a Keys to the City ceremony for the team. Pushback from top Capitol Hill lawmakers following the announcement that the Veterans Administration plans to close dozens of VA hospitals and clinics across the country to build new facilities. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said he's urging the VA to rethink the planned hospital closures.
We are going to fight this proposal tooth and nail.
That's right.
We are going to put a dagger through its heart.
Right.
It is not going to see the light of day. And we're here doing it now because we're going to nip this in the bud.
Senator Schumer spoke alongside military heroes in New York. It's a moment that will be talked about in the history of the Academy Awards. Actor Will Smith slapped comedian Chris Rock on live TV minutes before winning the Best Actor Oscar. Rock had joked that Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, could be in the next G.I. Jane movie, a reference to her very short hair. She has alopecia, a disease which causes hair loss. Smith addressed the incident during his acceptance speech for his role in King Richard.
I look like crazy father, just like they said about Richard Williams. But love will make you do crazy things.
Jessica Chastain won the Oscar for Best Actress. Apple's Coda won Best Picture. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
Thanks, Nathan. The Nets waited about 5 months for Kyrie Irving to be allowed to play a home game despite being unvaxxed. He finally did last night, and he had one of his worst games. Shot just 6 of 22, outplayed by Charlotte's young point guard LaMelo Ball, who scored 33 points. The Hornets beat the Nets in Brooklyn 119-110. Knicks blew a 21-point lead but held on at Detroit 104-102. Knicks have won 6 of their last 8 road games. They're home tonight for Chicago. Last night at the Garden, the Rangers in a back-and-forth game won 5-4 in overtime over Buffalo. Keandre Miller, the game winner, 2 minutes into OT. The Devils won in a shootout. The Islanders lost. Yes, the slipper no longer fits, but St. Peter's will be remembered for perhaps the greatest Cinderella run in NCAA tournament history. The coach, the Peacock, Shaheen Holloway.
No one gave a chance to. No one believed in, but the people in our locker room and the people on, you know, that's in our program, you know, administration, you know, us. And made history. You know, they shocked the world. They, you know, you got guys that's going to be remembered for things that they could tell their kids and grandkids.
Now, Holloway is widely expected to now leave St. Peter's to become the coach of his alma mater, Seton Hall. In Philly, St. Peter's lost by 20 to North Carolina, who will now face Duke at the Final Four in New Orleans. It'll be the 258th game between the arch rivals and the first ever in the NCAA's. Kansas will play Villanova. Yankees and Mets both won. Aaron Judge homered twice. So did Francisco Lindor. He hit home runs from both sides of the plate. The hottest golfer, Scottie Scheffler, won the match play easily. He's won 3 of his last 5 tournaments. He's now ranked number 1 in the world. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York's fashion models and influencers would get greater protection from exploitation by management companies and agencies under a proposed state bill that aims to shake up the industry. The measure was introduced by State Senator Brad Hoyleman Friday. 4 South Jersey agencies are among 24 selected for funding to install electric vehicle charging stations. Atlantic City's Casino Reinvestment Development Authority, Ocean City, the New Jersey Development and Environmental Protection, and the Parking Authority of the City of Camden will get the money. Connecticut regulators want to stop a program that incentivizes homeowners and businesses to convert to natural gas as soon as the end of April. The program began in 2014. It's authorized through the end of 2023. The State Public Utility Regulatory Authority says it is no longer in the best interests of ratepayers in the state. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on 1010 Wins in New York, we're talking about Wells Fargo offering a new MasterCard that will let customers earn points and miles on their rent payments.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that as U.S. airlines face heated competition for pilots, some of them have shifted recruiting efforts to Australia.
I'm Caroline Hepko, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on the government cutting its stake in NatWest to below 50%, more than a decade since the bailout of the bank.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting the CEO of First State Bank will retire next month.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Earlier this month, in a bid to ease pressure on global energy supplies, the U.S. opened talks with the government of Venezuela's Nicolas Maduro. It was a major reversal. Since accusing Maduro of stealing the Venezuelan presidential election in 2018, the U.S. has recognized opposition leader Juan Guaido as the country's leader. The U.S. also imposed sanctions and blocked purchases from Venezuela's state-owned oil company. Yet there are few signs this maximum pressure campaign has weakened Maduro's grip on power. In the meantime, the strategic environment has changed dramatically. Re-engaging with Venezuela wouldn't just free up needed oil supplies, it would also drive a wedge between it and its chief patron, Russia. The U.S. should remain clear-eyed about the risks, of course, but for now, it's worth the gamble. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at O-P-I-N go. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, partly sunny, breezy, highs only in the mid-30s today. We'll get to around 40 tomorrow. Increasing clouds for Wednesday with highs in the mid-40s. Currently 24 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Sovereign bonds are tumbling while European stocks gain and U.S. stock index futures are little changed as economic risks from inflation and tightening monetary policy hit sentiment. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are little changed this morning. Dow futures are higher, up 34. NASDAQ futures are down 42. The DAX in Germany is up 1.6%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32nds, yield 2.50%. The yield on the two-year, 2.37%. NYMEX crude oil is down 3.8% on $4.27 at $109.63 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.25% down at $24.80 at $19.35 an ounce. The euro is at 1.0988 against the dollar. British pound 1.3140. The yen at 124.26. And Bitcoin this morning is... It's moving higher up more than 2.2%. It's at $47,130. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. President Joe Biden sought to clarify his call for the removal of Vladimir Putin. Biden says that he was not seeking regime change after European allies raised concern, and critics said that he was further inflaming tension with Russia. At the Academy Awards, actor Will Smith slapped comedian Chris Rock on live TV minutes before winning the Best Actor Oscar. Smith took offense after Rock made a joke about Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith. Jessica Chastain won for Best Actress. Apple's Coda is the first streaming film to win Best Picture. The Final Four is set in the men's NCAA basketball tournament. North Carolina plays Duke. Kansas will face Villanova. In the NBA, Kyrie Irving played his first home game of the season, but the Nets lost. The Knicks and Celtics won. The Wizards beat the Warriors. In the NHL, the Rangers won in OT over the Sabres. The Devils won in a shootout over the Canadiens. The Islanders lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 26 700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And as Michael mentioned, the White House and President Biden are in cleanup mode after nine words that came after the end of the president's major speech in Warsaw, Poland, capping off an ally rallying trip to Europe amid the war in Ukraine. Let's get more now from Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy, joining us live this morning. Terry, good morning. For God's sake, this man must not remain in power. It's been 2 days since the president uttered those words. We're still talking about them. How big a deal is this, really?
Good morning, Nathan. You know, I'm sorry to say it's a pretty big deal. It is not something that can be taken back. It is something that, loose talk from presidents is never a good idea. And this is the loosest of loose talk. And it's on a very, consequential matter, whether regime change or not. It's not something that can get wiped away, easily, quickly, or anything else. I know on your air in the last hour, you had somebody say, quite rightly, that it was, something that, gave succor to Putin, allowed him to use this for propaganda purposes. It makes the Ukraine war harder to solve, harder to end. As the former acting CIA director Mike Morrell said on air yesterday, probably helps drive China and Russia's direction more as well. So, it's not just a gaffe. It's policy reversal, and it comes on top of at least two other wobbles this week. That came from Biden directly, that put U.S. policy in question, and so it's a big deal. And first and foremost, Biden and his team have to tighten up, have to be unified, have to tighten up. It's not a good day for this administration. Probably the worst, in fact.
Now, it's important to distinguish, I think, between loose talk and policy reversal. You're saying it's both things, at least that's what I heard, but the White House is saying that they haven't changed policy. The regime change is not the policy of the United States. Can the White House do more to clean this up?
Well, they're going to have to do an awful lot more. They're going to have to engage with the Russians publicly and privately, and frankly, it was already difficult to do that. The White House had said that they weren't getting calls back, at least on the Russian military side. And in order to end this thing, communication, this thing being the Ukraine war as well as this particular difficulty, they're going to have to engage, very much more. I mean, our own allies are appalled by the president appearing to kind of go out on his own, right after a NATO summit. Whether or not it's a policy reversal, and you're quite right, the White House walked this back very quickly, as they should, but whether or not this is an outright policy reversal, takes a little bit more than just saying, misstep, sorry. It's going to take some demonstration. But you've got, you have on top of that a couple of other things that's happened. You've got, the situation, whether or not there was a green light to providing planes in Ukraine or not. Secretary Blinken said there was. A few days later, the president said there wasn't. Russian regime change or not. Just in the past week, we have had whether or not Russian sanctions were intended to deter. Biden says no, but there's a litany of administration video and quotes saying yes repeatedly, and whether or not U.S. troops would be used in or had been used in Ukraine. So none of these are small matters, and it raises difficult questions for the White House, I certainly hope they learn their lesson and tighten up here drastically, because the wobbles in the United States foreign policy only make the goals in Ukraine and elsewhere much harder to achieve.
And we'll be watching to see what, if any, fallout there is as negotiations continue today between Ukraine and Russia, and as we continue to follow the engagement underway with France's president and the Russian president as well. Terry Haynes of Pangea, as always, good to get your insights. Thank you so much. Karen?
Well, Nathan, it is 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, and we get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The Internal Revenue Service says the last of its remote workers will be brought back to offices in phases starting late next month. Normal in-person operations will begin June 25th. A federal district court ruled that a challenge by two hospitals over how Medicare calculates reimbursements was properly dismissed by an administrative appeal board. Mississippi lawmakers agreed on the biggest tax cut in that state's history. The state is on a path to eventually phase out its personal income tax.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching brings us to the war in Ukraine. The State Department has formally accused Russian forces of committing war crimes based on a review of available evidence from public and intelligence sources. However, that accusation applies to Russian forces only, not to President Vladimir Putin. For more on the matter, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Kate McIntosh, executive director of the UCLA Promise Institute for Human Rights.
Kate, the U.S. is not a member of the ICC. What's the significance of the U.S.'s formal accusation that Russian forces have committed war crimes in Ukraine?
Well, that is a political determination, of course, not a legal determination. There hasn't been an investigation. Nothing's come before a court. But declaring that there have been war crimes, I think, signals the U.S.'s commitment to trying to prevent and seek accountability for them. So there is a general obligation on all nations to not just respect, but to ensure respect for the Geneva Conventions. In other words, to take some action to ensure they're upheld. And we might think of an analogy with the Genocide Convention, for example. So a statement by a political actor, a government, that genocide is happening is not a legal determination, but it tends to signal that that body is going to take some action or that it considers that something needs to be done in this situation. So I would say it is a stronger position on the U.S.'s commitment to try and prevent these war crimes occurring and also to seek accountability for them.
This accusation applies to Russian forces, but not to Putin himself. If Russia's committing war crimes and Putin is the president directing those crimes, why don't they also call him a war criminal?
Well, that's maybe a little harder to establish based on what's been seen on the ground. These are all statements that are being made without any proper investigation, but they're being made, I presume, in the face of overwhelming evidence of war crimes being committed on the ground. Tying that back to an individual in Moscow, like President Putin himself, would require a more involved set of evidence to really flesh out that chain of command. So I would imagine that they feel it might be a little premature to suggest that they have that evidence.
And that's Kate McIntosh, executive director of the UCLA Promise Institute for Human Rights, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. And S&P futures are down about 5 points this morning. Dow futures are little changed, and NASDAQ futures are down 50. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 2.50%, and the yield on the 2-year at 2.37%. And our top stories are straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.